Okay, so we're learning Shmuel Beis, Perek Beis. If you remember the beginning of the Perek, so we discussed basically David becoming the new king after Shaul's death. David is becoming the new king, but we said how David really only became the new king over his people, Shevet Yehuda. And unfortunately, we have this Avner ben Ner, who was one of Shaul's men, and he inaugurates Ish-bosheth, who was the surviving son of Shaul, to be the king. And in the last psukim we read, is Pasuk Yud Aleph, that described how they both reigned, both David and Ish-bosheth, David over Shevet Yehuda, Ish-bosheth essentially over the rest of Klal Yisrael for a certain time period. Now, for the rest of the parak, we have a very interesting story, a tragic story, but an interesting story about the meeting between these two groups, between these two camps. So the pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Beis, "Vayetze Avner ben Ner ve'avde Ish-bosheth ben Shaul imachanayim Givona." So Avner ben Ner, who is this? He's the general who's supporting Ish-bosheth, who's the son of Shaul. He goes out with his men from Machanayim, and that's where they inaugurated Ish-bosheth as the king in Machanayim. And before they were crossing the river, crossing the Yarden to go back home, so they were in this place called, heading towards this place called Givon. And now we have a little bit of a complication here. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'Yoav ben Tsruya v'Avdei David, Yotzu, Vayif Kishum al Berechas Givon Yachtov. So here Yoav ben Tsruya, who is the general of David, and Avdei David, right, David's men, they also go out and they meet up with Avner ben Ner and his men by this brecha, by this pool in Givon. Vayeshvu Eila al Habrecha Mizeh Ve'Eila al Habrecha Mizeh. And you have one group, Avner ben Ner and Ish-bosheth's men, they're on one side of the pool, and you have Yoav ben Tsruya and David's men on the other side of the pool. Now, what exactly was happening here? So this is a machlokas among the mafarshim, how to understand this vayif kishum. Is this a peaceful vayif kishum? Is this a antagonistic vayif kishum? It's not so clear. So the Radak in Pasuk Yud Beis says that really Yoav and David's men came out to fight Avner, right? Keep in mind, Avner was the one who had inaugurated and anointed Ish-bosheth as the king. So obviously David's men were not very happy with Avner and his men. So they came out to fight against Avner and his men. But they realized soon that there were too many of them. They realized they wouldn't be able to defeat them. Avner and Ish-bosheth, they had a big army. They had a lot of people. Keep in mind, most of Klal Yisrael was still on the side of Ish-bosheth and not on David's side. So they had a lot of supporters. They had a lot of men. And Yoav and his men realized that there were too many. So therefore, they kind of went out to fight, according to the Radak. Yoav and his men went out to fight Avner and his men. But then they realized they saw the size of Avner's force, and they kind of pulled back a little bit until what we're about to see. Yeah. Yes. The Malbim, so the Malbim understands that this was totally coincidental. The meeting, Vayif Kishum, was a coincidence. They happened to be traveling, and they bumped into each other.
Don't we have that with a Malatim, that same language?
Vayif Kishum?
Somewhere.
I'm sure. Somewhere.
But in terms of here, they've sat opposite each other.
Right.
So when you see they sat together around the lake?
You're saying that, you think that supports which side? You're saying it sounds like they're confronting each other because they're face to face across this pool. Could be. Maybe that's what pushed the Radak to understand the way he did. Could be. But that's the machlokas among the mafarshim. If the original intention of Yoav was to come out and fight Avner, now it seems pretty clear that Avner was just going home, right? He had inaugurated these Ish-bosheth. Now he's going home. That's pretty clear. Question is, what was Yoav's intention when he went out with his men? Was it antagonistic or was it peaceful? A fascinating side point here just to detour for a moment, a side point. So we call David's general Yoav ben Tsruya, right? So I never realized this, but I opened up the Sefer, beautiful Sefer Yesodei Hanaviim by Rav Aaron Lapiansky in Silver Spring. He wrote the Sefer Yesodei Hanaviim. And on each Perek Navi, he quotes different sources that discuss the Psukim, you know, all over the place. So on this Pasuk, I believe it's on this Pasuk, Yud Gimel, he says, Yoav ben Tsruya, he says Tsruya was Yoav's mother's name. Who would have known? But he says Tsruya was Yoav's mother's name. He quotes a Tshuva Sagaonim, who points out that in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Ksuvim in Divrei Hayomim tell us that Yoav's father's name was Saraya, Sin Resh Yud Hei, Saraya. So he asks, Rav Haigon, in the Tshuva Sagaonim asks, why was Yoav known as Yoav ben Tsruya if his father's name was Saraya? Everybody else is called by their father's name. You trace the lineage back, you go by the father. So why are we calling him Yoav ben Tsruya? So answers Rav Hai, that Tsruya, Yoav's mother, was David's sister. Tsruya was David's sister. So in order to give Yoav more chashivus, more yichus, they called him Yoav ben Tsruya, because everybody knew that Tsruya was David's sister. Had they called him Yoav ben Saraya, nobody would have known who he was. Who's Saraya? You know, it's David's brother-in-law, but people didn't know him as well. But Tsruya, that's David's sister. Right? So I didn't even know David had a sister, right? Let alone that her name was Tsruya. But that's what Rav Hai... I'm sorry?
He would be a nephew.
No, Yoav was a nephew.
Yeah, you said brother-in-law.
Saraya was a brother-in-law. Saraya was David's brother-in-law, right? So that's what Rav Hai answers, that Yoav was known as Yoav ben Tsruya, because it gave him more yichus, that he was more connected to David. Anyway, that's just a side point. Okay, so we have this meeting, and again, whether the original intention of Yoav was peaceful or antagonistic, but now, Lamaisa, they're both sitting across this pool, across this brecha. Vayomer Avner. Now Avner pipes up first, and this is important that he's the one who speaks first, El Yoav. Yakumu nahane orim v'isacha kulufaneinu. Let the young men, the young soldiers get up and let them entertain us. V'isachaku. Right? Let them entertain us. Vayomer Yoav, Yakumu. Yoav says, you know, great idea. Let them get up and entertain us. You know, what's the entertainment here? So, presumably, the Radak and the Malbim both seem to say that this was like a skills competition. You know, they wanted to see which soldier had the more skills. This wasn't a violent encounter, right? It was like a skills competition. You know, you imagine like the knights, you know, what are they called? The jousting or whatever, right? They're running at each other. It's not violent. The intention is not violent. It's to see which soldier is more skilled at warfare. But they're not going to kill each other. They're not going to actually be violent. They're just going to show a skills competition. That's what they seem to be saying. However, the Radak does also quote Chazal, who say that Avner, by suggesting this, was not taking the lives of these soldiers seriously enough. Because you're talking about a skills competition, when it comes to warfare, things can happen. And as we'll see, things do happen. So therefore, Avner was not careful enough with the lives, with the blood of these young men. And therefore, he's going to be punished later, Mida Keneged Mida, he's going to die by the sword because he was not careful enough with the lives and the blood of these men. That's what Chazal say. But again, presumably, according to most of the Mefarshim, his intention was not for violence at first. This was more or less a skills competition. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayakumu vayavru v'mispar shneimasar levinyamin uli ishboshes ben shol. So they got up, 12 from Binyamin and Ishboshes, the son of Shol. So 12 from Avner's camp. Ushneimasar meyavde David. And 12 from David's camp. 12 from David's camp. Vayavru the Mitzudas David said they had to cross the pond. You know, they're crossing this little pool, this little pond, this brecha. The Radak and the Malbim both point out that we're mentioning Binyamin first, right? And even the Malbim points out, it says, Levinyamin, Uli Ishboshes ben Shaul, it's very wordy on that side, on the side of Ishboshes and Binyamin. Why? Number one, says the Malbim, because they started. Again, Avner is the one who initiates this entire encounter. They're the ones who first designate their men to go and to participate in this competition. Why 12? Presumably corresponding to the Shvatim, says the Malbim, the 12 Shvatim. Also to show that Ishboshes was the king over the 12 Shvatim. So this was also a political statement, the fact that they sent out 12 men. That these are 12 men corresponding to the 12 Shvatim that we rule over, and not you, David. Right? So this was also a political statement by sending out 12. So now B'nai Yehuda, David's men, had to counter by sending out 12 as well. You have to have a fair competition. So they send out 12. So Binyamin, so Shevet Yehuda sends out 12 as well. The Radak also says the fact that it elaborates that these men were not just men of Binyamin, but were men of Ishboshes ben Shaul, means that they were loyal to him. They wanted him to be the king. Again, there's a political undertone to this encounter. This is not, although it might look like a friendly skills competition, there's a lot of, you know, as they say in high school, there's a lot of beef. You know, there's a lot of underlying discontent here, an underlying disagreement here. Okay, Tes Zayin, Vayachaziku ish berosh re'ehu v'charbo betzad re'ehu. It's interesting wording in the pasuk here, that the men grab each other's head and their swords are by their side. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Vayiplu yachdav, and they fall together. Vayikra lamakom ahu chelkas hatsurim asher begivon. So, the Malbim says, you know, what's this business? You start with the head, and then it moves to the sword. So the Malbim says this started as essentially a wrestling match. Vayachaziku ish berosh reyehu. Right, they started by wrestling, but then what happens? You know, one guy wrestles a little too hard. One guy's a little too violent. He's a little too rough. And then what happens? One of the soldiers, takes out his sword and stabs the guy that he's wrestling. Now, once that happens, says the Malbim, all pandemonium breaks loose. Because once one guy takes out his sword, remember, you have 12 and 12, you know, wrestling each other. They all see what happens. One guy took out his sword. Now they all take out their swords. And now this turns into a bloody mess, literally. Turns into a violent mess. V'charbo betzad reyehu, says the Malbim, it turned into a violence. It turned into someone taking his sword and stabbing his friend in the side. The Malbim doesn't understand it that way. He says, you know, that they started off wrestling, and again, you know, how it happened and what the transition was not so clear. But you have soldiers who are wrestling, even if they start out as a skills competition. Things can get heated very quickly, especially with all this political, you know, undertone, an undercurrent of this rivalry between David and Ishboshes. One wrong move, and someone misinterprets it, and now the swords come out, and it becomes violent. And that's what the pasuk says, Vayiplu yachtov. Everyone is killing each other, right? They start, you know, stabbing each other with the swords and killing each other. And later, the pasuk says, they call this place Chelkas HaTzurim. Tzurim is... The Radak says, Pashup Shat Tsurim, a Tsur is a rock. So Pashup Shat, it's referring to the fact that they were strong as rocks. These were very strong soldiers that were here. This is the place of the rocks. But no one won because they were so strong that both sides were strong. They kind of, you know, they just killed each other out. They both killed each other. And that was the end of it. They all died simultaneously. He says the drash is that Tsurim refers to the sword and not to rocks. Okay, but either way, this does not end very well. Yeah.
Was this
fighting
between the 12 and the 12, or all the camps joined in?
Great question. Good segue to the next pasuk. Because as of now, it just seems like it's the 12 and the 12.
But why didn't everyone else join?
Pasuk Yitzayin.
The blood flow.
Pasuk Yitzayin. Vatehi hamilchama kasha ad ma'od. So what happened? Then it became a full-out battle. Right? Then it became a full-out battle between the two sides, because you have more than 12 men here. Everybody else was watching from the sidelines. Once they see it turn violent, then everybody jumps in. It's like the brawls at the baseball game, right? It starts with the players on the field, and then the dugout's empty. So that's what's happening here, right? It starts with these guys on the field. They turn violent. Once they turn violent, everybody takes out their swords and jumps into the middle, and now it's a full-fledged milchama. It's a full-fledged battle. And what happened? Vayinogef Avner v'anshe Yisrael lifnei avdei David. And Avner and his men take a beating. And the Malbim says that this, again, was Mida Keneged Mida. They started this fight, right? Avner was the one who initiated, let the young soldiers come out and entertain us, right? According to the Malbim, they were also the ones that put their 12 men first, right? They went out first. So says the Malbim, they started the fight, they got beaten, right? This is like Mida Keneged Mida, that they suffered a lot more losses. We'll see how many a little bit later in the Perek, towards the end, but they suffered a lot more losses because of this. Okay. Now, so you think, okay, the bloodshed is over, right? It's the battle and the bloodshed is over. Unfortunately, not yet. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayusham Shlosha B'nei Tzruya. There were actually three sons of Tzruya, and again, Tzruya is David's sister, who were here present at this time. Yoav, Va'avishai, Va'asael. Right? These are the three brothers. Yoav, we know, was the Sar Tzava. He was the general. And he had two brothers there, Avishai and Asael. Va'asael Kal Beraglov. Asael was the fastest. He was a very fast runner. Ke'achar atzvoyim asher basode, like a tzvi, like a deer, right? Or I think Rabbi Slifkin once said that a tzvi is really a gazelle. Okay, right? So a tzvi, a deer, or a gazelle, whatever, like one of these animals that runs in the field. Okay? So Avner now, Asael now takes off, and he starts running, Pasuk Yutes, Vayirdof Asael Achare Avner. So he starts running after Avner. Now Avner is the general. So presumably he was all the way in the back of his camp. You know, the young guys are fighting. The young guys are playing, entertaining, and then it turns into the young guys fighting. Everybody else started fighting. I guess Avner was in the back. You know, he wasn't getting involved in this melee. So Asael, you know, is angry now because Avner, he feels, started this whole thing. So he runs after Avner to go and try to kill Avner. And he makes a beeline. Right? Even though there are, you know, as he's running, he's passing other people. You know, if it was a battle, he could be easily, you know, killing other people as he's going. You know, kill a guy here, kill a guy there, whatever. He doesn't do that. He's going straight for Avner. Says the Malbim, right? It was clear. He's going straight for Avner. He's running directly at him to kill him. Now says the Malbim, Avner takes a look at this and says, this guy's running to kill me, right? So what's that called in halacha? When someone's running after someone? A rodef. A rodef. So Avner says, this guy's a rodef. He's chasing me to kill me, right? And not only that, it's clear he's chasing me to kill me, he says the Malbim, because he's not looking to the right and to the left. There's guys, there's all these men on either side of him. He's ignoring them. He's going straight for me. Well, so again, you know, not everybody will agree on the reasons if they're valid or not. You know, I mean, if the rodef has a legitimate reason, maybe fine. But Avner doesn't think it's legitimate, right?
Just the comment that we said where Rabbi Lopiansky said Syria.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can understand. So Yoav in Syria,
right?
But him, the three brothers. Why did he need such importance?
Well, then they all get yichus again. They're David's nephews. And the Pasuk wants to give them the Yichus to their David's nephew, so mentions David's sister. Okay. Vayifen Avner Acharov. So Avner turns around. It sounds like Avner maybe starts running at first away, and then he turns around and he says, listen, I'm going to give this guy a chance to save himself. Vayomer Ha'atazah Asoel Vayomer Anochi. So he says, Asoel, is that you? Right? So Asoel says, yeah, it's me. Vayomer Lo Avner. Netelechal Yemincha Lo Asmolecha. So Avner says, listen, I'm warning you. You better turn around, right? Turn to the right, turn to the left. Stop running after me. Stop chasing me. Go get someone else. You're right, you're angry, you want to kill someone? Kill someone else. Don't come to me. Now, so what's this business of, you know, get someone else, take his weapons? What is that supposed to mean? So, Pashup Shad, according to the Malbim and the Mitzudas David, essentially, Avner was telling him, listen, if you come to me, I'm going to kill you, right? You're chasing me to kill me, I have a right to kill you, and I'm going to kill you. So I'm telling you to go, you know, you should really look elsewhere. You know, go to the right, go to the left, look elsewhere, stop chasing me. Now you'll tell me it's embarrassing, right? Because what happens? You know, I'm going to yell at you and all of a sudden you're going to turn around and leave? People are watching. It's embarrassing for a soldier, a gibor. You know, I mean, he's chasing him to kill him and now he's going to just veer to the right or to the left. That's embarrassing. So he says, I'm going to give you an out. I'm giving you an excuse. Go veer to the right or to the left. Grab another guy, you know, and take his weapons as if, make as if you were chasing him. Right? You know, just make a turn and make as if you're chasing him. So I'm giving you an out. You do that, I'll leave you alone. And you're afraid you're going to be embarrassed so you can't turn around. Here, I'm giving you an excuse. I'm giving you an alibi. You can turn around. You can grab someone else, take his weapons. You know, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But don't come to me because I'm going to kill you. Says the Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayosef od Avner lemor el asoel, and he continues to warn him, Sur lecha me'acharoi. He says, please, he says, don't stop chasing me. Lama akeka arza. He says, if you keep chasing me, I'm going to have to kill you. I don't want to kill you. Ve'ech esafonai el Yoav achich. How can I look at your brother Yoav? They knew each other, right? I'm going to kill you. How am I going to look your brother in the face? But if you're chasing me to kill me, I'm going to have to kill you. I'm not going to have a choice, right? So why should I do it? I'm going to be embarrassed. Well, again, so I may have said that, but that's not exactly what he says. He says, Echoz lecha echad mehana arim, vekach lecha schalitzoso. So essentially, he was really telling him, go grab one of the other young men and take his weapons. They're all killing each other, but maybe, you know, if you go and maybe you steal his weapons, so maybe it looks like, oh, that's what you were doing. You were trying to get someone else's weapons. You know, I don't know. I hear your question, but it's not clear in the pasuk that he was telling him to go kill someone else. So what happens? And again, the pasuk in Chaf Aleph, I didn't emphasize this, but the pasuk in Chaf Aleph said, "Velo ava asoel asur me'acharav." Asoel didn't listen. He kept going. He kept charging ahead. And that's when Avner said, "Okay, you know, I see he's still going. I'm warning you. You come here, I'm going to kill you. I don't want to kill you. I'm going to have to look your brother in the face. I don't want to do this." Pasuk Chaf Gimel, "Vayimo'ein lasur." Asoel puts his head down and he keeps running. He refuses to back off. Vayakeyu Avner be'acharei hachanis el achomesh. So Avner kills him. Acharei hachanis sounds like the back of the spear. We'll talk about that in a second. He kills him with the back of the spear. El achomesh. Also have to figure out what's this chomesh. You know, it seems like it's a location of where the spear went, and he killed him. Vateitze hachanis me'acharov. The spear went straight through him. Vayipol shom. Asoel falls, vayomos tachtov, and he dies there immediately on the spot. Vayihi kol aboel amokom asher nofal shom asoel vayomos vayamodu. And everyone else who is now running, I guess they hear the commotion or they see Asoel running to Avner, so they started following. As soon as they get to Asoel's body, they stop. As soon as they get there, they stop. So what exactly is happening here? So, the Malbim says that the halacha, when it comes to a rodef, is that you have to try to kill him. I'm sorry, you have to try to injure him without killing him first, if it's possible, right? If you can shoot the rodef in the leg and just disable him, right, and then he's not going to chase you anymore to kill you. You have to do that if it's possible. If it's not possible, you kill him. But if it's possible, you got to try to do that. We'll get there. Yeah. So the Malbim says that he was actually trying to stop him and not kill him, and that's why he used the back of the spear. The Malbim says acharei achanis means he used the back of the spear, which is the dull side, not the sharp pointy side of the spear, and he hit him in the back of the spear. But the Malbim says that since he was at close range and he was running, so it ended up that even the back part of the spear, which was not as sharp, still pierced him and still went through and killed him. There's different pshatim here. Some say that, it seems like most of them say it was the back of the spear. That's how most of the mefarshim seem to understand it. What exactly was this chomesh that it hit? It says that the vayakeu el achomesh. What's the chomesh? So different parts of the body. Some say it's referring to the fifth rib, right? That's where the heart is. That maybe he hit him right in the spot where the fifth rib is, and then he hit him right in the heart, maybe, and that's what killed him. I'm sorry.
Belly.
Fifth rib is the belly.
No, that's what it says.
Oh, it says in Sefaria. It says the belly. Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting because the Chazal understand based on this some medrash that he hit him like by the liver, you know, belly area. That's that seems to be where he hit him. Okay, but either way, Targum Yonasan says he hit him in the leg, on the thigh, wherever he hit him. But he hit him in a way where he was killed. And these men, which are running, they stop and they're kind of, you know, shocked to see Asael lying here dead. You know, they're shocked and they kind of stop in their tracks. The Malbim also points out the difference between in Chaf Aleph velo ava Asael asur me'acharav, that Asael did not listen to stop chasing Avner, and then in Pasuk Chaf Gimel vayimoein. So what's the difference between vayimoein and velo ava? So says the Malbim, velo ava means in his mind, right? He didn't go with it. He didn't agree with it. Vayimoein is like a verbal refusal. He kind of like yelled at him, I'm not gonna stop chasing you. I'm gonna get you. You know, that seems to be, according to the Malbim, the difference in the language here. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, Vayirdefu Yoav va'Avishai acharei Avner. So now this is like a full out, you know, retaliation here. So all the men are shocked and they stop when they see Asael's body. But says the Mefarshim, Yoav and Avishai keep running because they're the Goalei Hadam, right? They're the brothers of Asael who was just killed. So they run and chase Avner. Avner at this point is running himself, right? He doesn't want to get killed, so he's running. Yoav and Avishai are now chasing and running after him. The Hashemesh Ba'a, they're running, and the sun begins to set. The Hema Ba'u Ad Givas Amo, Asher Al Pnei Giach, Derech Midbar Givon. And they come to this place, a certain hill, called the Hill of Amo. Maybe Radak says maybe there was a stream, Amas Hamayim, maybe there was a stream there on the side, that's why it was called Givas Amma, okay. But it was near this place called Giach, which is on the way to the desert of Givon. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayiskabtzu B'nei Binyamin Acharei Avner. So now the B'nei Binyamin, who are Avner's men, they see Avner's running, they see Yoav and Avishai are chasing him. So they say, we have to protect our general. So the B'nai Vinyamin gather together behind Avner, right? In between Avner and Yoav and Avishai who are chasing him. And they swell, it becomes a big group of soldiers, you know, protecting Avner. And they stop and stand on top of a certain hill, on the top of this little mountain, this hill, preparing for battle, getting ready to confront Yoav and Avishai. Pasuk Chavav, Vayikra Avner al Yoav. So Avner now tries to call out to Yoav. Vayomer, and he says to him, Halonetzach tochal cherev. Is your sword going to eat forever? Meaning, is your sword going to kill? You want to just keep killing? Right? Everybody's killing. You know, we got to stop this killing already. Stop chasing me. Halo yodata ki morot siyeh ba'achrona. He says, it's going to be bitter at the end. It's going to be bitter at the end. Now, halanetzach tochal cherev, the Mefarshim say, you know, that the Radak says that he was basically insulting Yoav and telling him, you know, you have an insatiable desire for battle. You just want to fight. That's what you want to do, right? You just want to fight. It's not going to end well. It's going to end bitterly. The Mitzudas David says, one of us is going to die, right? If you come and we fight, it's going to be a fight to the death. One of us is going to die. It's not going to be a good ending. The Admosai lo somar lo'om lo shuv me'acharei acheihem. You got to tell them, just tell your people to stop chasing us. Leave us alone, right? You know, at the end, we're brothers. Meaning we're all, you know, Jewish people. We're all Am Yisrael. Tell, you know, we got to stop fighting. You got to stop this. So the Malbim says there were really three points here. Number one, the goal of the original battle was to see who was stronger, who would win. You won, Right? Remember, the Pasuk says that a lot more people from Avner's camp died than people in Yoav's camp. So he says, you won the battle already. Right? Point number one. So what are you still trying to kill? You did it already. That's halanetzach toch acherev. You still want to kill more? You killed enough. Number two, killing is bitter. If it results in a victory, that you're winning some sort of a battle, you win a territory, something like that. So then there's a sweetness at the end, even though the bitterness of killing exists, but it ends with a sweetness because there's some sort of a victory, there's some sort of accomplishment at the end. Here, there's no victory. You're just going to kill, and you're going to kill me at the end, that's it. There's no victory here. You're not winning anything. You won already. You won the competition. You killed more of us, so that's it. You're not winning anything more. It's not going to be a sweet ending to justify the bitterness of killing. And number three, we're brothers, right? We're all a chever. We're all part of Am Yisrael. So we need to stop fighting. Vayomer Yoav, so Yoav responds, Pasuk of Zayin, Chai ho Elokim. It's a language he's swearing. I swear. Ki lule dibarta, ki oz me'aboker, na lo ha'om ish me'achare achiv. He says, had you only said this in the morning, right? You were the one, Avner, who opened your big mouth at the beginning that let the guys fight. You know, you started this whole thing. So all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you're such a lover of peace. What happened to you in the beginning? Right? True. True. But I guess, listen, they're generals. You know, one general, offers to compete against another general. What's he going to say? No? You know, it's a busha. You know, it's a busha. It's like war games. You know, it's competition. But again, Yoav's point is that you started this. You know, you're telling me to back off now. You're telling me, you know, you're telling me that my sword is insatiable. Stop. You started it. You're the one who started this. Had you not said this, you know, at the beginning, let the boys fight, none of this would have happened. You know, we would have been fine. Now the Radak says, interestingly here, that Yoav, although he's responding to Avner's claim, but at the end of the day, he sees that he's outnumbered. Because remember, right now it's only Yoav and Avishai, maybe there's a few men following them. Most of the men stayed back when they saw Asael's body. And now, the Pasuk says, remember, that when it comes to Avner, the Bnei Binyamin had this big force that surrounded Avner, or that protected Avner, and they were on top of the hill. Pasuk Chavches, Vayiska Yoav Bashofar, Yoav blows the shofar, blows the trumpet, Vayamdu Kol Ha'am. That was the signal to his men, whichever men were following him, halt, right? We're going to stop here. V'lo yirdefu od acharei Yisrael, v'lo yosfu od lehilachem. They're not going to chase Avner and his men anymore. Interesting, right? Refers to them as Yisrael here, because again, at the end they're brothers, at the end they're all Am Yisrael, and they're not going to fight anymore. And again, this was a little bit of a reluctant pullback, a reluctant retreat, because he just saw that he was outnumbered, and he saw that he wasn't going to be successful now. So let's just pull back and let's stop here. Pasuk Chavtes, the Avner va'anoshav holchu ba'arava kol halayla hahu. So Avner and his men see that Yoav and his men stop chasing them. Okay, so that gave them a little bit of comfort. But Avner is still scared. He's still nervous. He doesn't think Yoav is just going to give up so quickly. And therefore, he says, guys, let's go. We're traveling through the night. We're not stopping to camp. We're traveling through the night. Kol alayla hahu, vayavrus hayardain. They cross the Yardain, right, going back to Aver hayardain. Vayelchu kol abisron. Bisron was a certain district. So they traveled through this entire district. And they came to Machanoim. They didn't sleep that night. They traveled through the night again, Avner to protect himself against Yoav, who he knows is very angry now that his brother was killed. Pasuk Lamed, the Yoav shav me'acharei Avner. So Yoav pulls back, he retreats, he goes back. Vayikbots es kol ha'am. He gathers his men, right? His men, remember, some of them had stopped at Asael's body. Some of them had come with him. So he gathers everybody together. Vayipokdu me'avdei David. And he counts, right? They do a head count to see how many they lost. They lost 19 plus Asael. So says the Malbim, 12 were the original 12 that were fighting, right? So those 12 died. They were the first ones to die in this battle. They lost only 7 more men. After the 12, they only lost 7 more men, the Bnei David, the Bnei Yehuda, plus Asael. Why was Asael singled out here? Why don't we just count him and just say they lost 20 men? He was on a higher level. He was greater, right? So the Radak says that he was greater. Rashi says not only was he greater, but he was equal to all the others. That's why it says 19 and Asael, because Asael was equal to the other 19 put together. That's how great Asael was. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Avdei David Hikum Ibin Yamin Uva Anshe Avner Shlosh Meos Vishishim Ish Mesu. Right, Avner and his men lost 360 men. Right, so says the Malbim. If you think about this, it's wild, and the Malbim seems to understand this is 360 and over the 12, right? In addition to the 12, or maybe it's 360 including the 12, but it's basically 50 times more men. Right, they lost 50 times more men than the Bnei Yehuda than David's men, and the Malbim says the reason why this was so disproportional. Avner lost so many more men was because, again, Avner was at fault here, right? The Ashgacha had it that Avner was at fault. He should not have started this. He should not have started this competition, even though it started as a friendly dual competition, but it's bound to get out of control. He shouldn't have done it. He did it. And that's why they were punished 50 times, says the Malbim. They lost 50 times as many men, right? Which the Malbim says, if you think about it, it's wild. I mean, what kind of thing? You know, 50 times as many people died. Crazy. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayisu es Asoel vayikberuhu bekever aviv asher beis lochem. So they take Asoel's body and they bury him back in his father's, in his family's plot, which is in Beit Lechem. Vayelchu kol alayla yoav va'anoshav vayeir lohem bechevron. And they travel again the entire night. No one's sleeping that night. Avner and his men travel through the night. Yoav and his men travel through the night. And by the morning, they end up in Hebron, which is of course the place where David is acting as the king right now in Hebron. So again, a tragic ending to this perek, but you see this undercurrent of tension between Ishbosheth and his men with Avner at the helm and David and his men with Yoav at the helm. And of course, we see unfortunately that what happened when because of some of this underlying tension, and we will learn that Avner is held responsible, and not just that he lost all these men right now, but eventually he's going to die as a result of this mistake as well. Okay, we'll stop here.